And a very pleasant good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live. We're broadcasting from the auditorium of Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas. And the program is Sunday Night Live. Your host for the program is Mark Meek. He is out tonight. Our co-host is Natalie Thomas. Good evening, ma'am.
Well, good evening, Jim. How are you tonight?
I am my normal, fantastically wonderful, humble self.
Well, you're just awful chipper, too.
Well, I'm live on the radio with three beautiful women. Why can't I not be happy?
So. Right? Well, I mean, I'm telling you what. These people, we are already got us a good time. I already have us a good time.
Even
in here.
Before we got on the radio, there, I'm not sure we can contain it.
I'm telling you, it's good. We don't even know where tonight's show's going to go.
You'll have to introduce the guests then.
I know. Well, I'm actually pretty excited because not only do I know them from my church, but they are really good friends of mine. And I have with us tonight in the studio or church with us today.
Live and in person.
So, yeah, live. All right, ladies, live. Okay. So we have Sonia Mercer here, which is my really good friend, but also the wife to our pastor here at Cornerstone Church. And I have Marianne McGinnis, who is the run-all, the do-all, the, I don't even know what her, I know she's associate pastor.
I would call her the director of et cetera.
Exactly.
Whatever et cetera needs to be done, that's what Marianne does.
Et cetera, yeah.
Besides that, she's really good at playing the keyboard and singing, too. But
yeah, she does do that, too. But yeah, like, if you need something done, she's your girl. So anyway, I'm really excited to have you ladies here tonight. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
I want to know if I'm your friend, too, because you said Sonia was your friend, but you didn't say anything about me being your friend.
I know. Can you believe that? But actually, you are a really good friend as well.
Okay.
You guys actually are two of my closest friends and sisters in Christ that I can share, you know, share my life with and my walk with Christ. And you guys, the scripture that says that iron sharpens iron, you two are the ones that are the iron sharpens iron in my life. And so I appreciate that about you too. And so that's why I'm really excited to have you here because, man, I know we can have some things to talk about.
Amen.
Okay, so
we feel the same about you, Natalie. You are definitely iron sharpens iron.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, you ladies are cracking me up tonight, but we're going to make it through this show. And, you know, wasn't that an amazing service this morning? We talked as Aaron was preaching on grace. I mean, wasn't that great? I mean, you know, one thing that you really that I love the way he said it, and he said, we don't come to church so that we can get God to like us, because he already likes us. We come to church because we love God and we want to be here. And if you are here because you want God to like you more, then don't even come. And I just love that.
I did too. So good. So, so good.
We had something really neat. I was down with the children in one of the services, and we had something really neat kind of along those lines. So I'm glad you said that, because one of the kids said, right at the end, we were talking about having a relationship with Jesus. And one of the kids, and I was talking about him being your best friend, and one of the kids raised their hands and said, well, how can I get Jesus to be my best friend? And I thought, that is just so, so childlike. And so I said, well, it's kind of like if I say, hi, I'm Marianne, what's your name? Not that Jesus doesn't already know us and know our name, but it's similar to just having a conversation with the person, and then you begin to spend time with them and you get to know them. And I thought, it's just as easy as that. It's nothing that we have to do or be. We can just be who we are because he's our Father and he loves us and he wants a relationship with us. And I thought that was really neat coming from a child, how they were just sincere. How can I get him to be my best friend?
Well, and that's what the scripture says, that God, or Jesus wants us to have that childlike faith and that we're to be like that. So that's really a good point. And that's what he was talking about this morning, that it's about relationship and it's not about working towards getting God to do something for you, and not, and I know you ladies were there, but for the sake of the audience, that we aren't working to get God to love us. We aren't working to gain favor or get God to do things for us, but God's already done it. Amen. All God wants is from us is relationship. And he's done everything else. And then he actually ended it, and I've been actually saying it over and over, is believe, rest, and receive.
Yeah,
just believe. Rest in that and receive what God's already done for you.
We don't have to work for it. That relationship's a free relationship. And really, that's the thing I think. Why do I spend time with him daily? It's because I love him. Because he first loved me. And so
that's right. And it's about relationship, because we want to spend time with a God, with God, because we love him.
That's it.
Because he first loved us.
That's right.
And you know what? We're going to make mistakes, but that's okay. You just keep coming.
That's right.
Keep coming.
That's exactly right. I'll tell you a scripture real quick. I looked this up. It was Hebrews 13:8-9 that he read this morning. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. Our heart is to be established by grace. That's why we don't have to work to get him to love us, to get him to like us. We don't have to read our Bible every day because, oh, if we don't and we miss it, bam, he's going to hit us, you know, or we're going to have a car wreck or whatever. He's not out to teach us lessons. He loves us.
And he wants good for us, like in Jeremiah 29:11.
Yes.
I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but give you a
Amen.
Hope and a future. And John 10:10 comes to mind, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have him and that you may have life and have it to the full until it overflows. And that's exactly it. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in that, oh, I didn't do the checklist in the morning, then I'm going to get zapped.
That's right.
Or something bad's going to happen. And that's not the God that we serve.
And God don't even want to be on our checklist. He wants to be the list. He wants to be that he's right in the middle of everything we do. He don't want to be just a side part. Invite him into everything we do in life.
That's right. And although reading your Bible and praying and those things are good, and that strengthens us and it helps us and it helps us to grow in our relationship, and that's one of the ways that we have a grow in our relationship with him is by doing that.
Yes.
But it's not about the checklist.
That's right.
And so it's just about, you know, just loving God and accepting what he has done for us. So
that's really good. I think part of the journey that I've been on in my life, and I know y'all kind of come out of some legalistic background as well, like I have, and it has been neat over the years to see how there was a switch that happened. I can't even really pinpoint it, but it was like the to-do list and feeling like I have to get up every day and I have to read my Bible. I have to do this and I do this. And then when I wouldn't do that, you know, I felt like I was a bad Christian. And then even when I got into full-time ministry later on, that was even worse, because I thought, here I am a minister and I didn't get up today, and I would just beat myself up. And somehow along the way of just realizing how much God just loves me and wants to spend time with me, somehow that switch happened as I just let go of all the have-tos. And now I can't wait to get up in the morning. And if I wake up at 6 and my alarm is set for 7, and I don't want to go back to sleep. I want to get up and spend time with God. Why is that? Because he wants to spend time with me, and we just get to enjoy coffee together or just talking together and just being together, and not this list of, well, I've got to read 3 chapters and I've got to meditate on this and I've got to confess all these things. And like you said, all those things are good, but now it's like I can't wait and I want to. And it's more out of a desire rather than I have to do this in order to be a good Christian or to be a good minister. It doesn't really even have anything to do with that. But now I don't care who I am. I just want to be with Jesus. So
yes, that is so good. And, you know, actually, when you're saying that, I remember back when we were in the old building and I was leading praise and worship on Wednesday nights. And I don't know, maybe I had yelled at my kids in a really bad mood that day. I can't even remember. But what I do remember is thinking, how can I go in front of everybody and lead praise and worship when I'm not even a good Christian? I haven't done this. I've done this. And then it was just like the Holy Spirit says that I am with you. I'm always with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and I love you no matter what. And I just really got that sense from the Holy Spirit. But because of that, I was able to go into that night with praise and worship, and I felt like it was one of the better, you know, really sensing the Holy Spirit during that time of praise and worship. And so that's what it makes me think of, is that is we tend to beat ourselves up.
We disqualify ourselves. And why do we think we have the power to disqualify ourselves? Jesus is the only one, and he's not going to.
Never
and that's
has,
what
never
I think.
Will.
He yeah. never has. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Mm-hmm. And when I think about Scripture, and so just like that with you hollering at your children or whatever happened that day, and I think of how many times I've disqualified myself of how can I be a good mom? How can I be a good wife? I fell, or how can I be a great minister? But when I look through the hall of faith of Hebrews 11, and mm-hmm. you see those really messed up people, but God used them. And so there's none perfect that he used. He used a bunch of messed up people. And so why do I think I'm be disqualified because I yell at my children?
Right. That's right.
Yeah, and he just draws us in by his loving kindness. And I think that, you know, I kind of missed that somewhere down the road. And I know the Bible says that, you know, his loving kindness leads us to repentance. His loving kindness is better than life. All about him being love and kind, but I don't treat myself like that. And I have it's like I have a different standard for myself than even God has. And so who am I, like you said, who am I to have a standard for myself that Jesus doesn't even have for me?
Right.
And so I think, especially over the last couple of years, I'm really learning to treat myself with the same loving kindness that how God treats me, because he doesn't come with that. You know, sometimes we have that inner critic. I know I have a harsh inner critic, and I can be that condemnation can come in, and I think I just do it on my own. I don't even think the devil has to do it to me, because I've done it so many times. But that's not how God is. He doesn't come at us with that condemnation. And the condemnation, the more I condemn myself and the more I criticize myself, that does not cause change to occur. And that's not how God treats us. He doesn't give us that, you need to do this better. You need to be better, do better, do better, do better. That just gets you just like, I can't do better. I can't do it. And so the more I just receive God's love and kindness for myself, then I find myself changing just automatically. It's just like a given.
So, yeah, that's good.
That is so good. Yeah, and so I just think about that. You know, when we get into ministry, because, you know, we all, you know, pretty much are in ministry some shape or form, whether you're at work or not. If you're a part of the church, you're in ministry. So this really could go for anybody. But as you guys, you know, talk about this, and you go before, you know, I had talked about leading praise and worship. So are there times that maybe you have struggled with some of that as far as not feeling qualified?
Yes. Many, many times. Honestly, to preach on a Sunday morning, I will feel that every time, because there has been enough people that have made comments about women in ministry, women preaching. And I think, thank God I'm married to the man I am, because he's really good to say, okay, so when does women get to switch over so they can teach babies and they can teach children? But when does it stop that they can no longer teach a boy, you know, a male? And so he has spoke that to me, because to be honest, it's the thing that makes me think, okay, God, I don't want to ever do anything that you don't want me to do. But the truth is I believe I'm called and I'm anointed to speak the word of God. And so if I'm called and I'm anointed, then why did he give it to me? And I've had just as many men talk to me and tell me that was good as I have women, probably maybe more men than women, you know. And so that would be my thing that I have to, anytime I'm going to preach on a Sunday morning, I have to deal with and cast it down. So, no,
mm-hmm.
I am worthy and I am called and I will obey completely whatever you call me to do.
That's right. That's right. How about you, Marianne? Have you ever had an instance where you may have struggled in?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And when I was just thinking when she was saying that last bit, that it's so freeing to know that God will use you no matter who you are. You could come from the lowest of the low of whatever, and God still wants to use you. And it's such a humbling thing, of course, but it's also such a freeing thing, of course. I think what I struggle with, if I get up to lead praise and worship or preach or do a video or whatever, I think that what I struggle with is as I'm going, because I'll think, oh, maybe I didn't say that quite right, or, oh, I had this thought, or, oh, I have this wrong motive, or, oh, I feel that pride creeping in, or, oh, that jealousy just hit, or whatever. And so it's like I have all these conversations going on in my head while I'm trying to be led of God and do it, you know, to say or sing or whatever God wants me to. And so I have to really just trust God that he's going to be flowing through me, and that even if I have something negative that comes through my mind, that, you know what, Marianne, it's okay. You're human. You're going to have thoughts, and you're just going to keep going, and I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to guide you, and I'm going to help you say what needs to be said. And so it's a lot of analytical things that are going on. It's probably a lot my personality, but so I struggle with some of that. But I find myself really, I don't know, I think when you're ministering, for me, it's for me, ministering to adults is different than ministering to children, because with children, I know that they don't care if you get up there and make a fool of yourself. They're just there to be loved on and have fun. And
adults don't care either.
I find myself very free with kids, and I'm realizing I need to just be that way with adults too. But you sometimes when you're around your peers or whatever, you're thinking, oh, they're thinking this or they're thinking that, when really it's not about you at all. And so I have to realize that too. It's not about me. You know, I'm up here doing this, and God's going to flow through me. And I could get up here and say, Mary had a little lamb, but somebody's going to get blessed because that, you know, he's using me and he's flowing through me.
That's so right. And you know what? It makes me think about it going back to our message this morning. I think that's also another thing that we should apply to ourselves, to any of us, is that it's not going to be us. It's going to be God. And I think that that's hard sometimes for us to be able to just say, you know what, God, I'm going to, you know, whatever I have, it's okay. And I'm saying this because I'm saying this to myself. But you know what? I know I make mistakes, but you can use me no matter what. And it's going to be not by what I say and not by what I do, but what you or your Holy Spirit is moving in this place, and that you're going to use me just because I'm willing to say yes.
You know, when you're saying that, that's what I think. God's not going to call us to something that we can obtain on our own. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to rely on him, upon the Holy Spirit, upon his anointing.
Well, and it does, isn't it, and sorry to interrupt you, but isn't it also anything that God leads us into is something that God wants you to depend on him in that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, at least for me in my life, it's always been, okay, I have faith.
That's
you
right.
know, I have to put my faith in him that he's going to take care of whatever it is and where we're going to go on this road.
Well, and think about Abraham. And so what did God say to Abraham? He says, you're going to be the father of many nations. The man didn't even have a child. What are you talking about? He was an old man, and he had no children. And here God says, you're going to be the father of many nations, and I'm going to give you all this land. Well, when you go back and you look, like even in Hebrews 11, it says that he did not see it in his lifetime. There are going to be things as we're following Jesus and we're moving in where he has us. We're going to move into things that we're going to have to take it by faith. He had to take it by faith. And so did Sarah. And then what happened? He became the father of many nations. Well, they didn't see it in their lifetime. There's going to be things that we're going to do that we will never see in our lifetime, but it will be on the other side. And when we get to heaven, we will see the glory.
Well, and not That's only good. That, we will that also too, but we will never know the people that we have touched. We That's will right. never know the lives that we have affected around us. We have such there's just so many people around us that we won't know. I don't think we'll ever know until we get on that side of heaven by just saying or doing something that we didn't think anything about. Mm-hmm. And it blessed somebody, which led them to decide to see who our God was.
That's right.
And so that's one thing, you know, I think about too is, mm-hmm. is that.
I really believe that when we get to heaven, we will be greeted with people that either we directly or indirectly have ministered to. Indirectly, maybe I gave you money that ministered to this group of people or whatever, but I believe we will be greeted with thank yous, and we will get to see the effect of our life, of the way we spend it. Because the truth is I'll tell you a scripture that's been on my heart since the end of the year, going into this year, and I just have taken it as my scripture, but it's therefore out of Philippians, therefore, in any state that I'm in, therefore I will be content.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, God, that's my word. I'm going to be content at where I'm at this moment of whatever, because, God, I want to be able to minister and I want to affect the kingdom of God as much as I can. But if I'm being inward and it's all about me and what can it, well, I've got this money and I want to buy this and me, then I can't be outward of, God, what do you want me to do? And I can't minister outward as much. I mean, I can, but it's going to be very limited. But if I can be content and then let God move, how much more when I get to heaven will there be people that I have affected for the kingdom of God that is in heaven because of my obedience, you know?
That's really good.
That's right. So, you know, so as I think about that, I had a scripture that I wanted to say, and then my mind went blank. But so I wanted to talk about this other scripture because it threw me for a loop today, and I hope I can find it. But it's I know what I was going to say. I remember it came back to my mind. You were talking about I have learned to be content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or, yeah. You know, everybody knows Philippians 3:14. All right,
4:13.
Yeah, so I get things back. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
But I love, because before that, and that's that scripture,
4:11.
No matter what situation I'm in, no matter where I'm at, I'm going to be content, but I'm going to choose to know that no matter what, I can do all things through Christ because he strengthens me.
Amen.
And so I've loved that verse. And when I realized that one was before it. Yeah, Philippians 4. Okay, so the 12, verse 12. Once I realized that went together, it was just kind of, it was just kind of a light bulb. Huh, that's, you know, that is it.
That's it.
What it's about.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
That's awesome.
And so whenever you think about ministering, and, you know, I guess really I'm having a little bit of conviction sitting here as we're talking because, you know, sometimes when we deal with some of our insecurities, we begin to shrink and we begin to draw back. Mm-hmm. And in reality, it's not about us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even if you go out and make a fool of yourself, it's not about you.
It's not about you.
It's not about you.
I think we think we're more needed than we think we are. I mean, it's like without Jesus, we're nothing, but with him, we're everything. And so he wants to use us and he needs us, but then at the same time, he doesn't have to use us and he doesn't need us, you know, but here we are with willing hearts to be used by him. And I think that's the key, is just being willing. Okay, God, whatever you need me to do, I'm going to do it, but I sure need your help to do it. But I don't know. It's such a balance to strike,
yeah.
You know, cause you could go either way easily. And so it's a challenge for me to stay in that balance of being humble, but not being too down on myself, you know, not being too insecure, but not being too secure in myself, being completely insecure in myself, but completely secure in him. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And that's a hard balance to find sometimes because you're going back and forth with all these thoughts or what people think. And so it's just a great journey that we're on, that God is just loving us through all of this and helping us through all of this. And he's just, I think sometimes he just sits up there and go, oh, these people, oh, this woman, what is she doing? Oh, I love her so much. She just, look at her go, you know?
Yeah.
You know, for me, I think it's being humble enough to know he let me be a part of his story.
Mm.
I get to be a part of it. He's invited me in to minister.
That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, that's where I can go backwards when somebody's made an ugly comment or said something. But wait a second. Okay. Opinions are a dime a dozen. You know what I mean? They're like noses. Everybody has one.
Yeah.
And so the truth is, wait a second.
That's not how we say it. at our house, but go ahead.
But, you know, and so, wait a second, I'm just humble. God, you're willing to use me. And so, though I might not be everybody's cup of tea, I'm somebody's cup of tea. And absolutely, they need what I have to say, or they need
that is
Sonia
right
in the world. And that's really where I think over the last year I've gotten to the place of, we don't need millions of Sonias running around, but we need one. And we need one Marianne, and we need one Natalie. And as we do our part, guess what? God does what only God can do. And that's when we see people come to the kingdom of God, is when we are being who authentic
yes
to who God created us to be.
Oh, yeah,
and not shrieking
good
back.
And to me, you know what? When you're not authentic, don't you think people know? They catch on you're being fake.
Absolutely.
And so it's just being your authentic self, knowing that, you know what? I don't have it all together. But I do have a God that can help me get it together. And but, you know, we're talking about this in ministry, and because you guys are more on the platform, and I know you minister out in the community as well, but I wanted to address that this goes to the same for those people that work that 9-to-5 job Monday through Friday or whatever their work schedule is. Is you carry that with you everywhere that you go, and you're going to have those same insecurities and same things. And it's the enemy. It's the enemy trying to come in and try to stop the movement of God. And so just encourage you guys out there that are listening, you know, wherever you're at in your job, you're a minister as well, in that as you're just showing the love of Christ. And those people are watching us. They see how we respond to trouble in our life, you know, different sickness or different things that we deal with. They see that. And just by being who we are and loving people the way God loves us, that is a way of drawing people in as well.
And in my opinion, you have a bigger field,
sphere,
yeah, of ministry, because you can reach people that I'll never reach just in what you do. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the ones that get on the platform seem to be the glorious ones. Those are not the ones that get to heaven and it's going to be rewarded big. I mean, there will be rewards, but it's the people that are taking care of babies, that's willing to stand up at work, and though there's persecution, I'm going to stand for Jesus. Those are the ones that will have the more rewards. And so never think, well, just because I'm not in ministry per se. No, no, no. If you're a Christian, the moment you say, Jesus, come into my heart, you become a minister.
You know, before I went into full-time ministry, I was an elementary music teacher, and I had probably 400 to 500 kids come through my classroom every day, and then, of course, all the teachers and then all their parents, and so there was a lot of people to quote-unquote minister to, and I just showed them the love of Jesus by my attitude and by having joy and by just different things. And I actually got asked to come work in a Christian school, and maybe I didn't pray this through very well, and I was pretty young too at the time. I was in my 20s, but the pastor said, hey, how do you feel about coming to work in the Christian school? And I said, well, I feel like I could be more of an influence where I'm at right now. And I look back on that, and it's kind of like what you said. Sometimes you're able to influence more people than just by, you know, going to like one lady's Bible study or whatever. And I don't know. I just thought of that when you said that. But there was a very big sphere of influence. And so when I did go into full-time ministry, it was a very cool situation where I felt like God put me into that. But, you know, I put that was like a, I don't know, putting that aside and just going from one thing to the next. But I said all that to say, to be an encouragement to people. I mean, like, I'll go minister to the nursing home, and they'll make a big deal about me coming to the nursing home. And I'm looking at all these workers that are loving on these people day in and day out, especially through this whole COVID thing. And they're having to wear a mask all day, and they're having to do all these things just to care for these precious people. And then I see the precious people, and they have a smile on their face every time I come through the door, and they're in wheelchairs, and they're having a hard time walking, and their hearing's going, and they're fighting that fight of getting older, but they have a smile on their face. And so really, the ministers, it's not really me when I go in there. They're all ministering to me. And I think that it's yeah, we need to encourage each other that, man, in your world, in your sphere of influence, like you were saying, God puts everybody in there. We need everybody. We need janitors. We need nurses. We need people to work at ALSIPs. We need every person in this world, and God knows what He's doing. He has this big puzzle that He's put together because He wants to reach the world for Him, and He wants all of them to be saved. And so we are just all pieces of that puzzle, and what a glorious piece each one of us are, no matter where you are out there, no matter what you're doing out there. You are valuable. You matter. You're chosen to do what you've called to do. And that's not to say that God might have something different for you later on, but He is using you right where you're at, and you are a powerful That's minister right. just where you are.
Yeah. You know, and isn't that the job of the church? The church, the leaders of the church equip the church to go out and be disciples. Right. You disciple them, and that's what the church is, the people of the church is to go out and be disciples in the job place. You know, you're out there to go out and to spread the news wherever you're at. And so it's a different dynamic when you, that's just something that came to my mind, but you think about it, it's a totally different dynamic. It's a totally different, because it kind of came to mind, Marianne, as you were saying you were in the elementary school, you had your area of influence, but you were actually in that area of ministering to these people that weren't in the church.
Right.
But then as you go to the church, you begin to equip those to go out and share what God has done, and what, you know, the goodness of God, and shares grace.
You know what I think that's exactly right. And honestly, then from being a recipient on that end, I remember when my mom was in the hospital and she's dying of cancer, and there's this nurse. And it was she was the most amazing woman, but she'd been a school teacher. And she went back to school, and she said, I was never meant to be a teacher. Mm. She went back to school, became a nurse, and that would be the woman that would make that rough journey so much easier. What did she do? She would come in and hug me. She would love on my mom, and she was called to do that. What was she doing? She was ministering to me. She That's wasn't right. on a platform ministering. She was in the world ministering, and really had a bigger sphere of ministry. And so I think don't despise wherever you're at, because God will use you if you say, okay, God, I'm yours. But the truth is, even if you don't say I'm yours, if you're a Christian, you're being watched, and you are a minister, whether you realize it or not.
And you know, we have great youth ministers in our church and great children's ministers, but we say the real youth ministers are the teachers and the teachers' aides and the janitors and the principals and the child care workers, because they are with those kids every single day, and they are faithful, and especially through this COVID season. And you're called, you're chosen to do what you've called to do, and that's so powerful. And even my doctor the other day, she's going from car to car and taking temperatures and doing all this stuff, and she's smiling the whole time. And I messaged her later, and I said, thank you for what you do. We are so praying for you. And she texted back, and she says, I love it. You can tell when a person is called to do, you know, what you're called to do. And so maybe you're in a job right now out there, and it's not your favorite thing. And of course, God wants to lead you into what you are, you know, maybe more specifically designed and called to do. But like Sonia and Natalie were both saying, God will use you wherever you're at. But you can certainly tell when someone is just in their element. I think that's what it is. I know there's times when I feel like I am in my element. I am just myself. I'm happy. I'm fulfilled. I'm blessed. I feel like I'm, you know, I'm doing something to help this world. And you can tell those people.
With God's goodness
and it's
and
it's
love.
Like, it's not a stress. It's like the Bible says, you know, Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeah. When you're flowing in that gift, what you're called to do, it's not, I got to get up again. I got to go do this, you know. And I mean, we all have to start there. You know, I remember as a teenager, I cleaned cabins in Colorado. That was not my favorite thing to do. But you got to start working somewhere. Stepping out there.
Yeah. I waited tables anyway.
Yes.
I'll tell y'all my very first job, and I thought it was the best thing. So mine wasn't I got hired on at this burger joint in Fridge. And in that, I was homeschooled. So I would cook them burgers just as fast as I could. And then I'd go and stand on a chair and lock the door. And so I'd lock all these youth in there and I'd preach the gospel to them. And so I made my own platform.
There you go. There you go. And, you know, that's one thing, you know, Mary, just to touch on what Marianne was saying, you know, that, you know, you may not be right where you want to be, but continue to say yes to God. Amen. And continue to do and be willing and be open, and God can keep moving, moving you to the next step. And that's right. One thing I've noticed in my own life. Mm-hmm. I think I'm here for a short time, but now I can look back and see I needed that time in my life back then to help me with where I'm at right now. And I believe that that's what just how God works.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I'll tell you, you know, Jim was saying Marianne is the whatever he said, the et cetera. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
she's
just doing a little bit of everything.
In charge of the et cetera. Yeah.
Well, it's so fun because I truly love coming here because I never know if I'm going to marry someone that day or if I'm going to do a funeral or I'm going to go to the hospital or I'm going to go to the dollar store or clean out a closet. I never know what I'm going to do. But I remember when I was a teenager, and a child, there were several things I thought, okay, I want to be a teacher. At one point, I wanted to be a physical therapist. At one point, Jim, you'll think this is funny, I wanted to be the first major league woman umpire in baseball. And I thought, I'm going to be the first woman to do that because I would watch the TV and call the strikes and the outs, you know, and I would really get into that. But anyways, once I got into college and started making decisions, I liked everything. Every professor made, you know, history was awesome. Math was great. Science was great. Music was great. All these subjects were awesome. I couldn't decide what to major in, you know. And so I did, I felt like I was led by God to go into music education. But in ministry, for me, I don't want to do the same thing every day. I like doing a ton of different stuff, and that's exactly what I do here.
It is.
And so I feel like I'm just fully alive with doing whatever, and we've got to do some fun things, you know. I walked in a closet the other day I was going around the church seeing what needed to be done, and I found a half a mannequin. I found like two arms and a leg, and it freaked me out. And I just thought, I love my job. This is great. Who else gets to do this?
Yeah. Wow, that's funny. You know, I was thinking, I was trying to find the scripture, and this is where I'm going to get off on a little funny here. But as we, the scripture that Aaron had brought up, it's in Hebrews, and maybe once I say it, Sonia, maybe you'll remember. But he was talking about seeking God. And then he went on not to worry about the appetite. I can't remember how it goes. I might have to try to look it up. But basically is, you know the scripture I'm talking about? And he kind of went in and talked about
not letting the food, don't let the food to rule you, to defile you.
Oh, well, that's not how I took it.
We probably like to eat too much, huh?
Yeah, I was like, hey, I've just been set free to eat whatever I want. I even talked to somebody after church, and she took the same way. So I was like, okay, I think that's a sign from God. I think I'll just love Jesus and not worry about anything else and just eat whatever I want.
Oh, no, that's what it is. That is what that scripture means.
Okay.
It's not what goes in the mouth that defiles it. It's what comes.
That's not how it was read.
Yeah.
And so I didn't think that was the same one. Anyway, I'd like to read it if I could remember, but I have my scripture reference. But anyway, I just thought that was so funny when I heard that. I don't know. It just made me laugh because, well, especially as women, I don't know about men. I don't think men so much care about dieting, but every woman I know has been on a diet and off a diet and on a diet and off a diet. And we always...
Aren't we all?
I mean, yeah. And so I was like, there it is. There's your scripture. Did you find it in the was that message?
No, message Aaron is so good. He's listening in and he just sent it. So it's Hebrews 13:8-9. Jesus, the anointed one, is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't let anyone lead you astray with all sorts of novel and exotic teachings. It is more beautiful to feast on grace and be inwardly strengthened than to be obsessed with dietary rules, which in themselves have no lasting benefits.
Hallelujah, Jesus, amen, and praise the Lord. That's what I said when I read that. I was like, well, I've been set free.
I've been set free.
I'm set free from diets right now. And then as I was talking to, I had talked to Mark earlier today, and we were talking about some things about, you know, life is valuable and, you know, just things like that. And I said, so what you're saying is, go ahead and eat the cake. And he said, yeah, eat the cake.
Eat the cake.
And I said, I'm going to go with that. So,
amen.
But anyway, I'm so glad he sent that. And I think that's one I have. But it just so happens the verse of the day in the U version, because as I was looking for that verse, this is what it says in the message. But this is Matthew 5, verse 6. It says, you're blessed when you worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat.
That is good.
And so that's what it is. It's feasting on the goodness of God and feasting on God's goodness.
Amen. That is so good.
That's good. Well, a scripture that I thought of talking about the goodness of God is something, I can't remember where it is. Pastor, if you're listening, maybe look this up for me. but it talks about that. Help me out, Sonia, because I think you heard me talking about it, but that God has gone before us into our future to prepare the way, and he is following us with his goodness to spare us from the harm of our past.
Oh, that's good.
He's gone before us to prepare the way, so we don't have to worry about what 2022 holds for us, because God is already there. And I think we've been talking a lot about lately about inviting God into every single moment
every
of our lives,
area.
No matter
yes.
what you're doing. And I do that all the time now. And I'm getting into the habit of, God, I just invite you into this moment. And it just makes, it's not that he has to be invited because he's already there, but it just makes me aware he is really here. And when I invite him in, I feel like I am including him in every part of my life, which is what we want, to feast on him. But anyways, when I was thinking about that verse, that he's gone, he's prepared our way, so we don't have to worry about what tomorrow holds. He's already there. And not only is he already there, he's preparing our way, but then he's also following us, and he wants us to bring his goodness in with us, not the stuff from the past. And so sometimes stuff tries to follow us into the next day. That's why his mercies are new every morning. Or maybe something wants to try to, you know, follow in from how you've lived your life in the past or whatever. And God doesn't want that. Nope. His goodness is following us. It's just like we are just so, I don't know. It's like I just see us moving forward, and it's like his goodness is just pushing us on. Okay, so let me read it. This is in Psalms 139. In the Passion Translation, Psalm 139, verse 5, it says, you've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. You have laid your hand on me. Because I just feel like so many times we struggle with the harm of our past, whether we've gone through abuse, whether we've gone through trauma, whether it's just something coming on from the day before that is just condemnation or guilt or regret or whatever. And it says he's laid his hand upon us, and he is sparing us from that with his love, with his kindness, with his mercy, with his goodness, with his truth, with his faithfulness. The list could go on. God is just so good. He's just so, so good.
He is good, and that's how we as people that are Christians want to portray that to other people, that he is not that God that's zapping us. He is not that God that's ready with that ruler that wants to slap our hand.
That's right.
He loves us. He loves us so much that he wanted to commune with us, that he wanted to have relationship with us, that he gave us Jesus, his only son, so that we can be in relationship with him. And if we could just continue to remember that, that God is about love. God is about, I wanted to make this way for you.
Mm-hmm. It's about stepping into that grace. I'm not deserving, but because of what he did on Calvary, I am deserving. So it's stepping into what he finished. And it's kind of like, what was it? I don't know if Aaron said it to here or if it was a conversation we were having, but it would be like saying, thank you so much, God, or thank you so much, Natalie, for my car, for bringing my car back. Wait, that's my car. Well, the truth is we can say thank you, God, but step into that grace. We don't have to beg God, will you, you know, do this? Will you save me? No. It's stepping into that grace, because he's gone before us to prepare our way.
That's so good.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? As you were, you know, I think about if we think that we're so bad enough that we can't use God, it can be flipped around that we think we can be so good enough that God can use us. Because you have to watch that.
Got to be humble.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because, like what Marion was saying, that is, we can be replaced. And that's something
right.
that we have to, that there are, he will even have the rocks cry out mm-hmm. if he needs to. And so we have to remember that we can never do enough that make God love us more, and we can never do something to make God love us less.
That's right.
He just loves us straight up, and that's what we have to remember.
That's right. Stepping into that grace.
Yep.
Amen.
That's right. And because, you can get caught up in, going back to the checklist, mm-hmm. I'm this good Christian. I pray for this long every day, and mm-hmm. We can get into that, get into that.
I'm the good little Christian.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the good. Well, we have a joke at our house that because Jason went to the Christian school and Jacob went to high school. And so he's the good Christian boy. And I'm doing quotation marks. And so that's kind of a joke at our house when someone does something wrong. I'm like, no, not me. I'm a good Christian boy.
one time Aaron and I were going to Santa Fe and we were youth ministers in Borger, and we had been called in one of our youth who was no longer living at her home. She'd been kicked out, but she had to go into emergency surgery. And so we're up all night long with her because she don't have no parents. And so then we go to work the next day, and then we drive to Santa Fe. And so we're in Aaron's dad's big old boat, like 70s model Lincoln, and the steering is loose, and he's got all these Mardi Gras beads on it. And so anyhow, I pull into Santa Fe, and I can't keep the car. I guess I'm a little bit weaving. And so we get pulled over. And then he will not get out of his car. He's got his the bright white light shining on us, and he will not get out until another police officer is there. And so we are being spotlighted by two. So they get out, and they've got one on each side of our doors. And so, of course, they're asking questions. And I can't remember what they needed me to get, but I had said, they said, "Have you been drinking?" And I said, "No, sir, I don't drink." And so my eyes are bloodshot red because I'm so exhausted. Anyhow, I had to get something out of the trunk to give to him. And there on the top was my Bible. And I said, "See, look, we're preachers. We don't drink. We don't smoke. We don't cuss. We don't do nothing." I'm trying to earn my rights.
I've never heard that before.
Okay, so now I have to tell my story that I think you guys have heard. But go ahead. Sorry.
Now, were you finished with your story?
That was.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, this leads right into that, because when I was in seventh grade, I was going through a really hard time where, the whole popularity thing. And so everybody knew I went to church, so I decided... Well, and I was not in the Bible Belt, okay? And so I decided I was going to get myself some popularity by telling a dirty joke. And so I said, "I don't cut." This is exactly what you just said. "I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't smoke." And they all looked at me like, "Where is she going?" And so then I said, "God, blanket, I left my cigarettes at the bar." And that was totally out of character for me. I thought it was going to go over great. They were going to laugh, and I was just going to be into the cool, people. And they just looked at me like, because we're going back to being vulnerable. I wasn't being myself by doing that. I was trying to be like somebody, somebody else, and trying to fit in, because I wasn't fitting in as a Christian. And so anyways, I was like, oh, and then I was totally embarrassed. Well, then my mom picks me up for school after school instead of riding the bus home. And my dad was there, too, for some reason. We went into town and we had a flat tire on the way, and I started crying. And they were like, "What is wrong?" It's like, "God's punishing me and you guys too. He's punishing my whole family because of the joke I told." So we think that, we think these things, if you don't do this, this, and this, then you must be good, when
we think
really
we have power.
We're all in the
That's
same
it.
Boat. We're all in the same boat of humanity. Like Pastor was saying this morning, didn't he say one verse? Like, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty mm-hmm. of all. We're all guilty. We're
That's
all
right.
in the same boat of humanity. But thank God.
If you're guilty of one part of the law, mm-hmm. you're guilty of the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And we, I've struggled with being judgmental, because, they did that, but I didn't do that or whatever. But we are all in that same boat. And thank God for His grace. That's mm-hmm. the only reason I'm making it today. That's the only reason we're making it, is because We're living off that grace, feasting off that grace. And I can't live without His grace and mercy. I have to have it. It's more precious than food and water. It really is, that grace and that mercy. We've got to have that.
So. You know what I loved this morning when you said that? It made me think because that's he read that scripture. Mm-hmm. But he said how somebody will be like, did you know they're on drugs? They're a drug addict. And just kind of go on. And he said, but what about you? You're the gossip. And, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because if you are guilty of one part of it, it don't mean that, oh, he being the drug addict is much worse than you, the gossip, or you, the glutton. Wait a second. If you're guilty, you're guilty. And so why don't we just give a little bit of love, a little bit of grace to the people and just love them right where they're at? Because that's what we're called to do. I'm not called to be your judge. God is the one that will convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I'm not your Holy Spirit. I can't do that.
You know, it ranks. Have you guys ever read any of Stormy O'Mardian's books? I've read her testimony, and one of the things, she's the one who does a lot of the prayers for a husband and prayers for the wife and
yeah.
the children, things like that. Anyway, so she goes in to when she was saved, and I guess she was like a hoochie mom, and she would go to church dressed that way, and the ladies loved her right where she was at. They didn't comment about how she was dressed. They didn't comment about anything about her. And so she talks about how the people of the church loved her into who she was, and that the Holy Spirit began to work on her and to respect herself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she began to change the way she thought about the way she dressed and the way that mm-hmm. she's talked and the way that she did things. But you know, and it was even talked about this morning as we lead people to get saved and say, oh, you come as you are. Jesus loves you. You don't have to do anything to change. Just come as you are and mm-hmm. be saved. And then they get saved and like, all right, now you should have your act together because you're saved now.
Yeah.
But that's not it. Yeah. It's loving people right in the middle of life, of whatever's going mm-hmm. on, and allowing the Holy Spirit to move.
I'm convinced if we as Christians would do that, and we'll just love people the way Jesus has loved us while we were yet sinners. He died for us. We'll just love people right where they're at. The truth is God then has the ability to go in and do what only God can do. But sometimes we feel like we can be God in their life and, well, you need to change this and you need to do that. Wait. Maybe that's not what God's wanting to work on first. Maybe it's this over here
yes.
is more important to Him, that they change this, because He knows where that's going to lead them.
Oh, that's good. And, you know,
too, we need to do that for ourselves, because I might have a list of, well, God, you need to change this about me, and now you need to work on this with me, and I need to change this and this. And so I might be up here as number one, but maybe number 10 on the list is like, nope, if we can get this worked on, that's the root of all your other things. But sometimes, you know, doctors do the best they can do, but sometimes they just go to the symptom and they can't get to the root until they take an x-ray or whatever. That's what we do a lot of times. We just see symptoms. And so when we see the drugs, when we see somebody, you know, like you were saying, that Stormy O'Mardian or whatever, we just see symptoms. And so we go for the symptom instead of what's at the root of that. If we can get to the root, and we can't get to the root, but God can, and we can, when He can get to the root of that, then everything else begins to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And so when we think about it as a whole, we're going back to being who God wants us to be. We have to remember that it's not dependent upon us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not dependent. And you said it earlier when, and we've been talking about that, and you know what? It's not dependent upon you. It's dependent upon God and on what He has done and what where He leads us. And we just have to say yes and go forth. And so, you know, as we've been talking about this, ladies, we've been talking about people, not just women, but everybody, no matter where you're at. It's just a call on our life to love people where they're at, to show them that love of God. And sometimes it's hard to stand up for those things. And so, Sonia, I was wondering, would you be willing to pray for everybody that's out there, just for a strength and a boldness that God would come on us and that would strengthen us and that we can have a confidence in it's about God, not in about ourselves?
Yes. Father, I thank you that you are a covenant-keeping God, that God, that you said that we boldly can come to the throne room of grace to obtain favor. And so, Lord, I come to you right now, and I ask you for the men, the women, the boys, the girls that would be tuned in tonight. Lord, I thank you that you will move on their behalf. Father, minister to their hearts. Do surgery, Lord God, within them, that, Lord, that you will move. And that they will have peace to move into what you've called them to move into. You will speak to them, Lord. But I pray that, Father, for a supernatural boldness to come upon them, to step into the very thing that you would have them to step into. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. That's right. And so that's our message to you guys tonight, is that it doesn't matter if you're on the platform or off the platform. Amen. You're in ministry. And all the ministry is loving people with the God kind of love, yeah, in whatever state that they're in. And you're in ministry.
Amen.
So we want to welcome y'all to the ministry.
Welcome.
We're in this
That's
together.
Right. Yeah, we're in this together. Isn't that right? And it's loving no matter what background, no matter what words are on the church building that you go into. It's loving everybody right where they're at.
And loving them, even if they don't go to church and they're the rankest heathens, we're called to love.
That's
called
right.
To love.
That's right. You know, what's going to draw you in? Is it going to be someone that's loving on you and telling you how great you are? Or is it going to be someone that's telling you how awful you are and how you need to change? Yeah. And it's, you know, we all know we're going to run from love. From all the,
absolutely,
from those condemnations and things like that. And so, but I want to thank you ladies for joining me tonight. I've really had a good time.
Yes, I did
thank
too.
You.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yes, yes. And so, I was maybe thinking about telling some funny stories on y'all, but I guess I won't, you know, because, yeah, I know Marianne's over there tapping her fingers like she's thinking about something to tell too. But, Jim, I guess I better not.
But we can remind everybody,
yes,
that they should go to your website at SundayNightLive.org, because if they missed anything in this program tonight or any of your previous programs or would like to share this with somebody, they can link from there so
That's
people
right.
can hear this program again.
That's
the
right.
Last dozen or so programs are podcasted there on your website at SundayNightLive.org.
That's right.
And
that's,
you can then connect to that Facebook page. You can talk to Natalie. Say, yeah, hey, you know, I got a story too. So
that's right. That's
we
right.
welcome that as well.
And you know what? That's all thanks to Jim. Everybody is the Jim, he's the captain of et cetera, as well in electronics.
That's true.
How do you think I knew that title? I've been called that before, so
oh,
I can recognize that gift in other people. So
yeah, and so I know I say that every time we get together, but I am thankful for it because, you know, we all need, like Sonia was saying, we all need different people in our life to help us to get to where we need to be. So
Cornerstone is thankful for Jim, that Jim moved to Wheeler, Texas.
Yes.
Well, it was your fault.
Uh-oh. So anyway, we just want to thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We hope to the hope that you were blessed by tonight's show, and we want to thank you for listening in, and you guys can have a good evening. And
we'll be back next week at the same time on the same station. We invite you to tune in for the broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
That's right.
Good evening.
Good evening.